Welcome to the College Audition Podcast with your host, nationally renowned college audition coach, Tim Evanicki.
Hey everybody, Tim Evanicki here with the College Audition, back again for another episode of the College Audition Podcast. Today my special guest is Danny Gerwin, head of BFA Musical Theater at the University of Arizona. Thanks so much for joining us, Danny.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
So my listeners know we always get to know the person before the program, so I want to know all about Danny Gerwin and his illustrious career that led him up to his time at the University of Arizona.
Sure. So I was doing theater ever since I was a little boy. Since I was six, I started doing some professional theater in Detroit, where I'm from. And as I grew up, I decided to study and major in it. I didn't really know you could do that till I was in high school. And then I went off to the University of Michigan. I'm a Michigan grad. And from there, I went right to New York, and that's the early 90s, started my career. I began working off-Broadway in a four-man Romeo and Juliet retelling, which was really exciting, and then went into A New Brain, the original cast of A New Brain, covering Gordon, and that was fun. And then from there, got my Broadway debut in The Scarlet Pimpernel after that. So I did Pimpernel, I did The Full Monty, I did Urinetown for a while, and a bunch of other shows, you know, in between, a lot of regional shows as well. I was lucky enough to do a lot of plays as well as musicals, so I always felt that I, you know, had a nice balance in terms of my career and the career goals I set out for myself. You know, a little bit of everything. I touched on sort of everything in my career, a little bit of television as well. After my time in New York, about 12 years in New York, I moved to Los Angeles. And started to do some TV, like Desperate Housewives and some soap operas and things like that. If you squint, you'll sometimes catch me running through the screen at Young and the Restless saying, you know, trauma, play a doctor in Young and the Restless. So things like that. So, you know, it's been fun. And then when I was in LA, I started teaching. Always did master classes when I was on Broadway and sort of working with students. And all that. So I really enjoyed that and had directed a little bit up until there. And then I started teaching more full-time, essentially part-time in LA and then full-time. I started work at AMDA in LA. It was a new campus at that point. They had just begun out in Los Angeles. So it was exciting to be a part of that and help create curriculum for the school there. And then I started guesting around the country at different schools. I went back to Michigan and taught at Impulse and directed also at Michigan. Where else? You know, just around the country at different places. Some great programs, met some great students, learned a lot as I went. And again, my work, you know, everything was sort of a learning lesson. It's nice to be able to, before I took the position here at Arizona, which I came here as a guest professor. They offered me a professorship for a year, and I took the offer. I thought it would be exciting to see what it would be like. And then essentially, I stayed on. They offered me the job at the end of my time here, and I have been here for 10 years since then. And I'm now an associate professor and head of the musical theater program here. But I learned a lot along the way. You sort of learn all about rep and how to sort of program classes, how to connect with students who have different issues and different, whether it's style or, you know, creating inner life, things like that. So I was very grateful for the time that I had in the industry and, of course, outside the industry. I still perform. I went back to Broadway in 2014 and 2018 to do How the Grinch Stole Christmas at Madison Square Garden. So that was nice to take a little time off and go back and do that. So I'm still very much a part of the industry and still working. I do concerts and things as well still. So I like to think there's not a thing that I ask my students to do that I couldn't do myself. So it's been a great road. And so here we are, you know, post-COVID, hopefully, fully, now in Arizona. about 10 years. This is my 10th year here.
Wow.
At Arizona.
And how long have you been head of musical theater there?
So I've been head of musical theater for the past, I want to say, 6 years. Mm-hmm. 6 years. So.
And as far as when do the students actually come in contact with you that are there? What are you responsible for teaching?
So I teach sophomore performance. So I will meet most of them in the freshman year, of course. But I don't teach them till the sophomore year, sophomore performance. I also do the senior year's auditions class. So I work with the sophomores and the seniors mostly. I'll do the senior acting class as well because I direct the showcase. So we'll pull a lot of material from those classes and from the musical theater auditions class for showcase. We'll do big awesome. Showcase units on that. So that's essentially what I do. In the spring term, I also teach musical theater history. So I have connection with juniors and seniors at that point for history.
Great. We're going to talk about the showcase soon, a little bit later here. So I always like to put my guests on the spot, which I'm sure that they love. But we sent ahead the sample questions ahead of time. And the question in the sample says, in your own words, describe your program. But I have changed that to now be, I would like your elevator speech, 60 seconds or less.
My elevator pitch?
Yes, your elevator pitch on the University of Arizona's BFA Musical Theater Program. You have 60 seconds. Sort of sum it up for us and pitch it.
All right, here we go. University of Arizona is an integrated acting musical theater program, so students in both disciplines get to experience a wide array of training. We touch on a little bit of everything. If you want great acting training in terms of Chekhov and Shakespeare that musical theater majors get as well as the acting majors, then this is the school for you.
Wow.
How was that?
That was only like, that was two floors. I mean, that was barely 60 seconds.
Well, you never know how much time you're going to get there.
But very nicely done, though. Very nicely done. let's chat a bit about what it looks like the 4 years. So when a student arrives as a freshman, sort of walk us through that arc of what they're studying throughout their 4 years.
Sure. Well, the integrated stuff begins in terms of the acting class and their voice and movement class for the actor. So the students are all together in those classes, and they move through the tracks together in those disciplines. They also have an intro to musical theater class that they'll do, and from that we build the freshman showcase. So a typical day would have an acting class, and then maybe voice lesson, and then musical theater performance work intro class, which includes some history and what else? History, current events, things like that, discussions about the industry and just getting them situated in terms of basic performance ideas. We go through and talk about sort of basic performance ideas as well. And then let's see, they have, they dance probably every morning. They take ballet. Most students, we try to get them to take ballet for sure in the freshman year, or at least one dance class a term. But a lot of students will pack in dance as much as they can since they want to take advantage of the dance school that's here. It's a busy schedule. And then students will, toward the end of the term, have rehearsal for the showcase that they'll do. And and we'll take them through that. We'll build that on them, you know, so it showcases them well. And sure. Every year the theme changes. It's a great. They have their academics, of course, their gen eds that they'll take. We recommend at least two per term just to stay on schedule. So they'll be in a philosophy class. They'll be taking their English. There is a math credit that they need to do, though most students will test out of that credit. Things like that. So the freshman year is about getting oriented to campus, to getting oriented to college life, making sure that everyone's wellness is in place and that they're feeling good about taking on the upper division and upper class curriculum.
So you mentioned a freshman showcase, and that's something that some but not all schools do. So can you talk a little bit about what that looks like?
Sure. We essentially pick a theme each year. Last year, the theme was Duke Ellington. So the students learned all about Duke Ellington. They do research reports, and a lot of that research ends up as narration in the show. And then they're assigned certain songs, whether it's solo, duets. There are dance numbers that they'll do as well in terms of reflecting that composer or composing team's career. The year prior to that, I directed a Bach and Harnack review on the students. And again, we try to fit it to the talents of the students as they come in. You know, each class has a very unique sort of makeup and feel, and we try to make sure that we showcase them as best we can. So students will do research projects. They'll come to rehearsal. They'll begin learning about how to mark their music, how they learn music, how they rehearse. So we'll take them through, you know, best practices and things like that. And then we usually mount it at the end. There are two showcases, one at the end of the fall term and one at the end of the spring term. So spring term showcase is an acting showcase. It's scene work from their acting two class. And that's paired with the junior year, with the sophomores, that is, doing Chekhov. So it's a great evening of scenes and contemporary scenes from the freshmen and then Chekhov scenes from the sophomores. And then the musical theater showcase is the one that's in the fall for the students.
And is that the only performance opportunity for freshmen the first year?
Essentially, yeah, those two showcases. That's mm-hmm. what we try to give them. And then they essentially will observe. They'll observe auditions in terms of the upper division, upper level ART, Arizona Repertory Theater, is the company for the actors. So they'll watch auditions. They will serve as crew. They have to get their crew credits out of the way freshman year. So they'll actually crew the shows, which is so that in the sophomore year they can begin performing in them.
And you mentioned dance classes. Do you allow students to level out of dance or up in dance classes?
We do, yeah. There's actually a placement audition at the top of the term, at the top of each term. Great. So the students can audition for placement in the, I believe it's A, B, and C sections over in the dance school. In the musical theater styles classes we do here, the students are leveled in terms of they're all together in class, but they're given different levels of work to do, whether it's a single pirouette, you do a double, you do triple, that kind of thing. But the dance school does level them. So there's an opportunity to dance with dance majors in some of those upper level classes as well.
So let's keep walking through the student experience there. Freshman year's over, going into sophomore year. What do students have to look forward to in their sophomore year?
So they look forward to, they'll be performing on the main stage, so they get to begin auditioning. So at the top of the term, the first day of class, we have our company auditions for the season. So they'll audition for the fall shows anyway. They'll audition for it, they'll be called back. A lot of sophomores are cast as understudies. So they'll understudy a principal role, and sometimes they're cast in the show or in the ensemble of a show. So there's that to look forward to. Then the callback for the spring shows are done in around November, around Thanksgiving. So there's a second. So there's a opportunity every term to be cast in something. So everyone gets that, is guaranteed some sort of role, which is really nice. So the practical application of the training can sort of be done, and we can be there to supervise it. Students will start musical theater performance work formally with me in what we call Musical Theater 1. So we'll work on that, and that's working in the given circumstances of the songs that they're assigned. They'll be able to, we do audition units as well. We start them right away with an audition unit. So with so many students auditioning for summer stocks and with Zoom auditions coming up, you know, everywhere in every which way now, we try to make sure the students are prepared. So we do that right away as well. Each term, they'll do some sort of audition prep work so that by the time they hit the senior year, they are ready to audition. They feel strongly their book is begun to be built already. We're not just starting from scratch when we hit the senior year. So they have that to look forward to. They continue their acting track. They'll start in terms of Chekhov work, which is a very exciting time, I think. So the concentration on the acting work is really important here. Everything, we see everything through the lens of the actor at Arizona. So that even musical theater performance work, I mean, you have your voice lessons as well that they'll continue on in the sophomore year. But we really look at, in terms of performance work, how to connect those two things, how to really bring performances to life in an authentic and honest and exciting way. So that's sort of the lens through which we work.
Beautiful. And now junior and senior year, wrapping up their time there, what sort of projects and things do they work on?
So this is when it gets really good. They'll be cast on the main stage. Usually juniors and seniors all get roles in some way, in some show. Now, remember, they can be cast in the plays as well. So a musical theater major, for example, could be in a play, could get a role or a lead in a show like that, and then be in the musical the following term, or vice versa. We've had acting majors that have been in the musicals as well. So they have that junior and senior year. Again, they're getting their gen eds ticked off while they go through all of this. We also advise the students every term, so we make sure that everything is taken care of in terms of what they need to have for the next, in terms of prereqs and all that, so for the next class. So we check in with them every term about where they are and how they're doing, making sure that everything's well with them in every sense of that word. Junior year, they will start Shakespeare performance. So all the acting majors and musical theater majors will be together in Shakespeare class. And then their voice and movement work is continuing there too. And that's also focused on Shakespeare and on that kind of text. In the spring term of junior year, they work on commedia and start to get into sort of on-camera work and sitcom sort of work and commedia characters and commedia dell'arte and how really what that is the archetypes that we know from sitcoms and all that. So there's that transition that we make. So it's a fun time. They're continuing to dance. So they have their musical theater styles classes that they're dancing in. Of course, that's sophomore year and junior year as well. And they can retake class if they want to. So they can take a class again for credit, or they don't need the credit necessarily. They can audit a class. So we try to give them the opportunity to do that if they can fit it into their schedule. So we try to keep it balanced for all of them. A lot of students are in the Honors College, so they'll take honors credits in classes, which is usually an extra project or something that we'll give them. And as they lead to their senior year, which is essentially more of the same. There's casting opportunities in the shows. We do our best to, you know, we want to cast the best people that are the most prepared, and but we do certainly give deferential to the seniors. We really want to make sure that they have opportunities along with the juniors. So the seniors, again, perform. They'll be in their upper division performance classes. They have the auditions class where we build their books. We'll be working on the showcase in the senior year. Again, their acting class will come back to contemporary realism as we work on showcase. So we sort of bring it full circle back to where, you know, more contemporary work on camera work is something that we'll focus on as well in the senior year. And again, they'll still be dancing. They can, you know, there's advanced tap that they can take, things like that. So there's lots of opportunity for them, and they can sort of make it look any way they want to, as long as they've got their credits for the degree checked off, and we make sure that that's happening every term with them when we advise them. They can fit in whatever they want, and a lot of students will. I know this might be a question for later, but a lot of students will fit in a minor or even a double major. Or what we call a dual.
We can chat about that now.
Sure. So that's sort of what it looks like for the 4 years. I mean, it's exactly what you'd think. We build on the foundation work that they set up in the freshman and sophomore years for their work as upperclassmen.
And most of the universities, the bigger universities, you know, there's plenty of room for students to do minors and on occasion a double major and a BFA. And you just said double major, so I'm going to let you talk about that a little bit more, because normally the question is to me is always, you know, am I allowed to, is it possible to double major? And I always say possible and probable are two different things.
Right.
So
tell me what
that looks like for minors and potential double majors.
Sure. Well, a minor is essentially 19 additional credits in a subject area. So students who come in with credit or AP credits, or who find themselves ahead, who maybe stack their credits and take a lot of academics at the top of their freshman and sophomore years, might have room in the junior and senior year for those additional credits, and they can declare a minor at that point. We encourage it. This is a tier one research university. So we encourage students to vary their ideas and their training and their opportunities as much as possible. So a dual degree is going to be harder. Again, you're getting another 125 credits or so in another degree. So students who come in with a lot of credits, who want to do summer terms as well, there's the best way to do it is to pick up classes during the summer as well. A lot of those can be online. We also have what we call winter terms, which are mini terms. They're 6-week terms where you do essentially double the work in half the time. So students can pick up a class there that they'll take just for 6 weeks that'll serve them toward their minor or their double major. You can't really double major in anything within, if you're a BFA acting or musical theater major, you can't also do tech. You can't do design and technology. It has to be something outside of the School of Theater and Film and Television, usually, though some students are film minors. They enjoy that. There's the production side of it and, of course, the research side. A lot of students will do creative writing. We have students that have done business. We have students that do marketing, that do journalism. So there's lots of opportunity for them to do that. And if it's something they want to do, we will help them. We have great advisors. In addition to the faculty, we have advisors in the school that can help them work out exactly where to fit all this in and make up a plan for their 4 years. If they want to graduate in 4 years, as opposed to taking, say, a fifth year, then we can do it. We will help them make that happen. While, you know, you have to be motivated because you still have rehearsals every night. You'll still have, you know, shows that you'll do. So all those credits continue on, all the stuff we talked about just before this, in addition to all that extra academic work. But it's very possible here.
So we kept touching on performance opportunities and things throughout this, but let's actually lay it out. What is the performance opportunities look like year by year for students at Arizona?
Well, in a typical year, we'll do 6 shows in a year. We'll do 3 each term. And usually there's a musical in each term we'll do, and then 2 plays around that. And then we'll vary the styles of those plays. So we'll do everything from Craig Lucas and Reckless and Proof to doing The Learned Ladies and things like that. There's always a Shakespeare show usually in the term. This next year is a little different because of coming back from COVID. We're ramping back up with just 4 shows. Which we still haven't announced yet. We're making sure that performance opportunities can be actually done before we make that announcement. But right. Yeah, usually it's 6 shows a term. So students have an opportunity, again, a wide array of opportunities in terms of where they can be cast and the kind of work they can be exposed to and get to perform in and get to work in. So a student may find themselves, a musical theater major may find themselves in the middle of a play trying to figure out, you know, exactly how to apply all that they've learned in class. But it's about giving them that opportunity so that they feel like as well-rounded an actor as possible, so they're not afraid of anything. So that when their agent someday says, hey, can you audition, you interested in the Shakespeare play, they can say, yeah, because they have training in it. They have monologues prepared in addition to all the work they would, say, do in musicals. So it's something that we are very proud of in terms of getting students ready for the industry.
And speaking of getting them ready for the industry, let's chat about that senior showcase that we touched on briefly. This is an interesting question. What you have done in the past for senior showcase and what you'll do from this point forward for senior showcase, maybe 2 different things. But can you chat a bit about your senior showcase?
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, in the past, we have brought agents and casting directors, managers to campus. We have done a live performance on campus. We do that in January of the spring term. So everything's prepared in the fall term. And then we give performances of the showcase on campus, flying all these people in. And then we hold callbacks for showcase right here on campus in our offices. So we can help mentor the students through the beginning of that process, which can be a little scary, as opposed to taking them to the city and saying, okay, you're done, off you go, figure it out. So we like to do that. That's how we've done it in the past. Now, this past year, we actually filmed Showcase. It was a virtual showcase. And we've had a lot of great response to it. So I think it's shifting now to more of an online showcase because we can post it on breakdown services. Casting directors and agents from all over the country can look at it. The exposure is actually greater. And we've gotten a lot of great response from the showcase that we filmed. And so I think we're leaning in that direction. I can't say positively how we'll do it. I think in an ideal world, we would film the showcase and we'd be able to post it. So for that sort of national recognition. And then we'd also do something on campus as well. Some sort of live event to celebrate Showcase, whether it's for donors or whether we fly certain people in just to look at it. I'm not sure just yet, but we're working on sort of that, what the ideal combination of those things are. That's sort of where it is at the moment. But I think that's the way most schools are leaning at this point. So I think it'll be interesting to see where we go in the next couple of years with all that stuff. But we do have that showcase and we do have a lot of success from it.
So I actually have a student, a former student from here in Orlando that just graduated this past year. And I was noticing he was putting things out on Facebook that he was doing this show with one other person on Jewish composers. So is that something that they just took the initiative to do themselves, or is that part of the degree, or?
Oh, that was part of actually an honors college thesis. So, So students, we have a great honors college here. And again, in terms of driven academic students, if students are driven enough and want to join the honors college, which a lot of our students do, we had, I think, more than half the senior class. So that's about 8 or 9 students in the honors college last year, which was very exciting. So essentially, the honors college works in terms of graduating with honors. You would petition certain classes. You have to have a certain number of honors credits. So you can petition your teacher, even in musical theater performance. They can ask me if they can do the class for honors, which means that they'd have to do a special project in the class. So instead of saying one song, I'd assign them 3 songs for an arc and for one of the units that they do. So they'd have to do extra work on that and be graded on that accordingly. So it works that way in academic classes as well. Sometimes there's an extra paper. I've had some petition students in petitioning for musical theater history honors. So they wrote extra papers. They wrote extra responses to questions that were posed. And then in the senior year, they actually have the opportunity to do some sort of thesis project. And so because they're musical theater majors or acting majors, they put together, essentially what they did last year was put together a cabaret regarding Jewish composers in the American musical theater. And then they find a supervisor. One of their professors to supervise them. So we took them through, you know, we work with them all term. The fall term is all research. The spring term begins rehearsals for it. So we had a lot of thesis projects that we did. And we find performance venues for them. We help them sort of sculpt and shape the subject matter accordingly. And that's sort of what that performance was. So, and then because we were on Zoom, we were able to put it on Zoom and put it on for watching for their friends and family around the country, since we couldn't really gather in person for them. So that's what those projects were. So it's a perk of the Honors College, essentially.
Interesting. I didn't know it was on Zoom. I guess I should have probably watched it. Whoops. Sorry,
well,
Tony.
Okay. Okay. It was very good. It was excellent. We had some excellent work being shown. So that was nice.
So talk to us about some notable alum or faculty that you have there.
I love the faculty here. I'm very proud of my colleagues. We're all working professionals. I think it's one of the things that separates Arizona from other schools. I mean, it sounds so cheesy to say we really care, but we really do work with students every term. I mean, our doors are always open in terms of office hours, in terms of connecting with students about their projects, their work, mental health stuff, whatever it is that they need. And if we can't help them, we will send them to someone who can. There's lots of different things on campus that we can connect them with. In terms of notable alum, Ben Crawford is currently playing the Family Opera. So he'll be back in Phantom this fall. Tamika Lawrence is doing very well in New York as well. Kyle Harris in LA is doing some great work. Vanessa Vidotto just did an episode of Hacks. If you go to our Instagram, we usually post a lot about the alum and all the work that they're doing. So there's some great stuff going on. We've got a lot of students doing summer stock this year at the Hangar in Texas, you know, all around for theaters that are just starting to come back. So, so there's notable stuff there, and I think there's notable work and teaching being done on campus, and we're all essentially on the same page. I think we connect well. So a student is not hearing, you know, we're building on the same foundation work. So we try to eliminate that idea of two teachers saying, oh, forget everything you learned last term, do it this way. So that's not sort of how we roll here. We try to make sure that we're building on exactly what the students got the former term, or in terms of concurrent classes, we're making sure that they're hearing things and making sure that the techniques that they're learning are consistent.
So University of Arizona is in Tucson. And if you can chat a little bit about what it looks like for students who, you know, want to leave the campus every now and then and do something in the area. What is student life like living there?
Well, we always, when students ask, we always connect them with students currently in the program. So any student that's interested in Arizona, we will most likely, you know, have you talk to other students so you can really find out from their perspective what it's like. So that's something we like to do. But I would say it's, you know, it's really, it's a not a huge town. It's a medium-sized city, I think. The campus U of A is at the center of Tucson. It's sort of the whole central area of the city. And you can't really go any place in Tucson without there being, and even the surrounding cities that are around it, you know, where people head to for hiking and all sorts of stuff like that, where you won't see the Arizona A or Wildcats or flags in people's driveways. I think that the city is very proud of the university in all sorts of ways. So I've never seen that so much as I do here in Arizona in terms of the college. But for students, there's so there's all the stuff on campus that they can do, and there's, I think, 300 to 400 clubs they could join, of course. There's all sorts of things outside of the School of Film and Theater and Television. But we have a great downtown area, which is funky and cool. We actually have a streetcar that goes from campus to that area, so they could take the streetcar down to the downtown area, and there's great restaurants. It's a food capital because a lot of chefs from LA will come to Tucson to start up their restaurants or use pop-up restaurants here. So there's some great food here. We like to say, you know, it's a pretty fun town. I mean, I think they, there's hiking again. So, we have mountain paths and trails all over outside of Tucson. So students can drive up. There's even some, not even 20 minutes away from campus that they could drive to and sort of hike. Beautiful sunsets here. Again, it's desert climate. So it's not too hot, except right now in the summer, it's a little hot. It's about 113 at the moment.
No, thank you.
But during the school year, it sort of sits at a comfortable 70 to 80 degrees. Mm-hmm. So we don't really have snow. Once in a blue moon, it will snow here for about 10 minutes or so. We enjoy that when it happens. So student life sort of looks like that. It's for an outdoorsy students, you know, they bike across campus. It's a lot of fun.
And you mentioned that it's right in the center of the city, but it's not an urban campus. It's still very much a classic college campus.
Oh yes, still very much. Yeah. Everything that's on campus is within walking distance. Again, the buildings are all beautifully sort of situated. It's a lovely, lovely campus. There's a mall area that you would find on other campuses as well. It's a very walkable, comfortable, safe environment in terms of campus life.
Wonderful. Let's switch gears and talk about auditions.
Goody.
The University of Arizona is a very popular school amongst my students, at least, that come through. Arizona is usually on their list. Let's chat numbers first. How many applications did you receive last year?
So we received about 700 plus applications last year.
And everything that is last pre-screens?
Year was, and that was including pre-screens, yeah. So that was the start of the season for us. And again, everything was done online last year, which is not the case again that coming up this year. We'll come back to some in-person stuff we can talk about. But so about 700 plus.
And then from those pre-screens, how many people did you see live?
So we saw about 200 to 300. So we cut that list essentially in half for the most part, maybe a little deeper than that. So about 200 students or so in terms of callbacks. And then we try to form a class of 16. We can go up to 18. We try to keep it small. Again, the student-teacher ratio is very, very strong here. You have a faculty of 8 professors in terms of, and you have about 16 students in each class. So it's a really nice ratio in terms of attention and individual contact hours and all that.
So starting with a group of 700 and getting it down to 16, what are the things that are going to catch your eye when you're either looking at pre-screens or in live auditions?
We look for students that are interesting, that are curious, that are themselves, that are very much that have something unique to say about their work. I always look at the songs they choose, for example, and what it says about their worldview and sort of how they think it connects to themselves. You know, you should know someone better by the time they're done with an audition. Even 16 bars, I should get a sense of who you are by the time you're finished. So we really look for students that connect in that way to their music and to their monologues and have something to say with that work. But a curious student. We look for nice people. It sounds silly, but we look for students that are kind and compassionate and really empathetic and really understand how to be vulnerable and connect to their work in a way that sometimes a really highly polished student may not do. They may sort of lack that true sort of authenticity. So we do our best. And if we see that, you know, we'll give a note sometimes and ask for, you know, a change or an adjustment of some kind. And that's always a good thing, by the way. You know, getting an adjustment from a panel is always a good thing. It shows that they're actually interested. It's not never a bad thing. So we will do that when we need to and try to bring out those qualities that we're interested in seeing.
So who sits on that panel? Who are the decision makers on the faculty? How many people?
So right now we have, again, the faculty's 8. We had 4 people on the panel this, is that true? 5. We had 5 of the professors of 8 on the panel this past year. And that's sort of the audition committee that we formed. I believe it will be that way again next year in terms of 5 performers. So you have musical theater faculty, you have acting faculty, you have our dance faculty, musical theater dance teacher. You have voice and movement represented, and then you have their voice lessons, their voice teacher and or our vocal coach who coaches the seniors through their audition material. And all that. So every sort of facet of the training is represented in some way. So that, and then we score everyone blindly. We don't sort of all get together and figure out what it is we think is best. We score them individually, and then we calculate scores later. So we won't see them until they're all calculated, and that's how we begin to sort of make the progression to our 16.
And do all 5, I'm always curious to know this, do all 5 of those faculty members see every pre-screen video?
Yep. It's a lot.
Wow.
It's a lot. Yeah, we do. So because that way, part of our callback, what we like to do is we ask students to perform one piece that's different, something they didn't do in their pre-screen package, so we can see them in a fresh way when we're live with them. And that way we all know what it is they did before, how it compares to what they're doing, if they're able to connect in a new way to this piece. Then we'll ask for new pieces, or we'll ask for a different piece or an adjustment or something. But so it's part of what we do to make sure that what we see and what we noted that was maybe well polished and well prepared on a pre-screen can actually be repeated live. And some students are so much better live. You know what I mean? They have an opportunity in terms of those pre-screens, you know, or sometimes it's the opposite where this pre-screen is so polished, but in person they're not necessarily connected to the material in that way. So we want to make sure that they're as authentic to themselves as possible. And we want to give them as much opportunity as possible to show us that.
I've actually not asked this question to any other school, but it just popped into my brain and it'd be interesting to hear the answer. What is something that students shouldn't do? What's something not to do when they're auditioning for you? What's a mistake that you see a lot?
Oh, mistake. I think it's not listening. You know, the panel, you know, we'll know who's coming in. I mean, they and student slate and all that, that's fine, of course. But I think it's connecting with the room. I mean, whether it's a Zoom room or the panel live, you know, we'll ask certain questions, or and students get so nervous they sometimes will not answer the question, or they have their slate prepared, so they'll reintroduce themselves live. And sometimes we say, we know that, we just saw you, we know your name, no, talk to us here, try this again, and this time just try to relax, and here, sit down, you'll be far less nervous. So we do our best to make sure the students are comfortable and don't psych themselves out. I think if anything, that's the thing I'd say not to do. Try to be your weird, funny, crazy self. And that's sort of what we like to see. And hopefully your material in some way reflects those things so that we get a real sense of who you really are. I like an oddball.
We all do.
So
if people didn't like oddballs, none of us would have careers.
None of us would be here at all.
Well, Danny, thank you so much for sitting down with us today and walking us through the University of Arizona's BFA Musical Theater Program. It's always a pleasure to have you around, and I hope to have you back for some workshops real soon.
Awesome. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. You have a good day.
All right.
For more information on the exciting training, workshops, and masterclasses offered by The College Audition, please visit us online at www.thecollegeaudition.com or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and TikTok.